Hi everyone, good evening and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings call of eClerx Services Limited. Please note that this webinar will be recorded. To take us through the results and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of eClerx, represented by Kapil Jain, Managing Director and Group CEO, P.D. Mundra, Co-founder and Executive Director, Anjan Malik, Co-founder and Director, Srinivasan Nadadhur, Chief Financial Officer. We will start the call with brief opening remarks by Srinivasan, and then we will open the floor for Q&A session. As usual, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call that gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. This risk and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports that you can find it on our website. With that said, I will now hand over the floor to Srinivasan. Over to you, Srinivasan.
Thanks. Ashraf, please confirm that you can hear me clearly.
Yes.
Thanks. Good evening and welcome to eClerx's earnings call for Q3 FY24. We are pleased to report that USD growth in Q3 was a strong 3.3% and 3.5% in constant currency terms. Operating revenue for the quarter was $90.5 million, and total revenue for the quarter was $7,735 million, up 5.1% sequentially. EBITDA for the quarter was $2,280 million at 29.5%, up 4.2% QOQ, and net profit was $1,386 million at 17.9% margin, up 2% sequentially. As with the last couple of quarters, growth in this quarter was driven by the customer operations business and the financial markets business. As you would have noted, there is an increase in G&A in this quarter. This was driven by three factors. Number one, higher recruitment fees, which we think will be one-off. Higher costs due to work from office. And number three, costs associated with the go-live of a small facility in Chandigarh. S&D costs in this quarter include a one-off reclass of some costs from delivery to sales. Excluding this, S&D costs would have been similar to Q2 at around 12.5%. Attrition continues to remain low. In fact, it's the lowest that we've seen, including the COVID year. There is an exceptional charge of $18.35 million in the console financial statements. This is the net impact of the fee received for the transfer of personnel from our subsidiary to one of its clients against the impairment charge of $225 million of customer relationship intangibles. Related to this transaction, we also issued notice to vacate one of our premises in Gurugram, resulting in a one-time lease modification gain of $69 million. This lease modification gain is included as part of other income. Coming to the outlook for the current quarter, we expect to show small sequential growth for Q4, with full-year EBITDA margins to be in the 28-32% range. We are seeing pickup in our conversations in our digital business and are hopeful of seeing a recovery in that business in a quarter or two. With this, we come to the end of our opening remarks and we can now move on to the Q&A. Thank you, Asha. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Srini. We have a first question from the line of Manik. Manik, I have unmuted you. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. And once again, thank you for the opportunity. This was a question for both Kapil and Srini. If you could talk about what are you seeing with your customer segment, both in your financial services vertical and the customer operations vertical, given that across the industry, we've kept on hearing about an increased intent to insource. If you could talk about that. The second question was with regards to the strong employee addition that we've seen in the current quarter. Historically, the headcount addition is a precursor to the growth in the subsequent quarter. So should that be an indicator of our growth through Q4 and Q1? Yeah, let's stop at a question.
So, Manik, I think overall we are seeing decent pipeline across our three segments: financial markets, customer operations, and as Srini was mentioning in digital also, in another quarter or two, we should see an uptick. And if you look at on financial markets, obviously, we are cautiously optimistic because we are operating in the compliance area, KYC compliance, where we are seeing good demand, and also in the loans area. And we are also seeing some demand from the buy side firms, both on tech and ops. And our domain-led tech ops PPO, I think, continues to see positive momentum, and our strong delivery is what clients appreciate. On customer operations, we have seen demand both from existing customers due to seasonality as well as new net addition. Again, on the back of strong delivery, we are in the top quartile of every clients that we service from a delivery point of view. And in digital, as I mentioned, across industrials, we are seeing decent demand. High-end fashion, I think, is returning back to normal from a high peak demand that they saw during COVID and post-COVID because there was a lot of pent-up demand. So that's really what we are seeing. What was your second question?
On the headcount addition. So I will cover that. So bear in mind that we will have to replace the revenue that has gone away from Personio, and therefore the headcount as well. So the net increase in headcount may be actually lower than what you are seeing. I hope that answers your question.
Srini, if you could expand on this exit that we've seen at Personio as to what was the construct of this particular contract. And the other question was that, while I guess Kapil will answer that in the subsequent months, but unlike the recent years when we have been unwilling to talk about medium-term growth rates, if you could give us some sense on what the medium-term growth trajectory looks like, as you've had a look at the portfolio of the business and also possibly planned your strategy around it.
Okay, so the construct of the contract is fairly straightforward: transfer of personnel for a consideration that is, I think that is mentioned there, about 206 million or so. And when that happened, because this was an acquisition of the company, so we had to evaluate what the impact on goodwill and the customer relationship intangibles was. There was no impact on goodwill because the rest of the Personio business has grown quite strongly. But there was a impact on customer relationship, which is about 225 million or so. And the net impact is what you see in the as an exceptional item in the CFS. Coming to the other question on medium-term outlook and whether you want to provide some guidance around that in the coming quarters.
So I think Q4, despite the impact of this client that Srini just spoke about, we are looking at modest growth or sequential growth. And I think Q1, we would be able to give more comments once after the full year results.
Thank you. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you, Manik. Next question we have from the line of Dipesh Mehta. Dipesh, please go ahead. I have unmuted your line.
Yeah, thank you. Two questions. First, about the Personio employee transfer. So whether any impact we have seen in Q3 and Q3 end headcount reflected, or it is a subsequent event? So if you can provide that clarity, and how many employees related impact you likely to see because of this thing, and any revenue side, if you can give some sense. Second question is on the EBITDA margin. Now we are seeing, you indicated about some reclassification which impacted S&M, but do we expect any sales and marketing kind of structural increase going forward? Because in last few quarters, if I look at it, our sales staff or business development headcount has grown consistently. So just want to get sense about whether it is leading to any kind of investment and as a percentage kind of changes. And last,
thanks, Dinesh.
Yes,
sorry. Go ahead.
Last is about G&A. You said some higher work from office. whether it is here to stay kind of thing, that movement.
Okay. So your third question first, we do think that the higher work from office is here to stay, especially in customer operations and financial markets. Both clients and us, we have seen that at least for the first 6 months to a year, employees work from office because it just helps in training and learning the ropes. To your other questions on whether the Personio headcount and revenue is for the full quarter, that is yes. So it is for the full quarter. The impact will be seen in Q4 onwards. I think you had a third question on the reclassification of SND. So what I meant by by highlighting the reclassification is that excluding that one-off reclass, the sales and distribution costs as a percentage of total revenue are actually unchanged from largely unchanged from Q2 to Q3. And therefore, what we are saying is that any impact of investments will be felt in subsequent quarters. So we expect broadly that there will be some impact in partially in Q4, but the full impact may be felt in from Q1 on.
So my
And what that has, what effect that has on the margins, we will probably give more color during the Q4 call.
on just on the Personio side, can you help us understand how many employee transfer is likely to take place, and what would be the effective date, whether it has already happened with effect from 1st January or it is somewhere in middle of the quarter this shift will happen, and number of employees?
It's about 400 to 500, and it has already happened.
So it would be from 1st January kind of thing.
Yeah.
And whether it would be largely offshore employees kind of shift?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dipesh. Next question comes from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus. Sandeep, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. It's just wanted to understand with this transfer of 400, 500 employees, what would be the impact on the fourth quarter revenue on a percentage basis Q on Q? And this will have a full year impact in FY25 as well, right?
Yeah, so despite this, I think we will still be able to show some sequential growth in Q4, although small, because that revenue obviously needs to be replaced. I think we are fairly confident that we'll be able to demonstrate that. And you want to add anything?
Yeah, so I think Q4, as we said, we will see a modest growth. And for FY25, the impact of the three quarters that you're coming, we'll more color and view in terms of when we present our Q4 and full year results in the next quarter.
Okay. And Srini, what was the one-time margin impact because of the recruitment cost in this quarter?
It's about 40 to 50 basis
points. Okay, and that won't repeat in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I didn't clearly understand the impact because of reclassification. So it's a grouping of basket which has changed, right? Rather than any impact on a headwind, because you said it may start impacting margins by Q4 and 1Q of next financial year. So I didn't understand completely.
Yeah, so only what I meant was that there was only reclassification between what was delivery earlier, incorrectly delivery earlier. We reclassed as SMD this time, but that's a one-off thing pertaining to previous quarters. So the S&M cost as percentage of revenue for this quarter, excluding this one-off, remains the same as what it was in Q2.
So it doesn't lead to any incremental margin headwind, right? So
That is correct.
Okay. And just the last thing, Kapil, induction of yours at a leadership level, the company has said is to accelerate the growth. So, do you believe FY25 could be the first year where the strategy will start driving accelerated growth, or you believe still a couple of more quarters in terms of accelerated growth?
So I think we would be investing in both sales and marketing building capability, and there is a lag from when the investments will happen to the time when we will see the growth. We would start seeing the effect of the growth in, let's say, H2 onwards, and we will give more details about our plan, our strategic view in terms of what our focus is in the Q4, as Srini had mentioned.
Okay. I will come in the follow-up. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandeep. Next question comes from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from AMSEC. Shraddha, please go ahead. Shraddha, you are on mute.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Two questions. Sir, I'm still not clear as to what should be the recurring run rate for S&M. This one-time transition from delivery to sales has happened, and this should be considered as a new normal run rate for sales and marketing expenses for us?
No, so let me just clarify. So this was a reclass of costs incurred in previous quarters into Q3. Therefore, the actual figure for Q3 is around 12.5%. And by that, I also mean that our investments into business development and sales have not started. So when they start, there will be some impact, but this is what we saw in Q3 is not that impact.
So in a normal steady state, 12.5% should be the run rate. If at all investments into
That's
sales and marketing increase, it will be an increase over that.
correct.
Right. And in terms of transfer of Personiv business, was it the full transfer or are we sitting with some residual business of Personiv?
There is some residual business. This was the largest client, and there is some residual business.
Possible for you to quantify the residual business that is with us still?
No, but the overall Personiv business, the business case that we have laid out for Personiv, the overall business that we are getting from Personiv clients is more than what we had estimated at the time of acquisition. So this client outgoing has not impacted the overall business case.
Sorry, I should have clarified. Largest client in Gurgaon.
Yeah.
Okay. And on the large clients, any comments on the revenue visibility from our top five, top 10 accounts, and any indications on what they are talking of budgets for next year? That's it from my side. Thanks.
So I think, like I mentioned, our top five clients, there's an opportunity for us to cross-sell and upsell. We saw growth in our top five clients. And in the luxury segment, I think it's coming back to the new normal in terms of more sustainable, predictable growth from what we had seen in 2022, which was the pent-up demand. And in the customer operations, the growth was led from existing accounts, both on account of seasonality as well as on account of new addition. So, and like I mentioned earlier, that because of our strong delivery technology led, we are seeing good traction in existing clients.
Right. So, and any indications on CY24 budget? Though I know that for us visibility is not beyond 6 months, but still, any early discussions on budgets that you've had with some top clients that would be helpful.
I think in the compliance and regulatory area, we are seeing because it's driven more from a regulatory, it's not discretionary spend. Right. So there we are seeing good traction. Banks are looking at cutting costs given the overall macroeconomic environment. They are also looking to cut costs so that they can spend on GenAI and other areas. But I think we are in active conversations, and they are also being very cautious And it from a third party perspective, it helps, right? Because cost is becoming one of the key drivers, is what we are seeing.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Shraddha. Next question is follow-up from Manik Taneja from Axis. Manik, please go ahead.
Once again, thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this transition that you saw at one of the large or your top client on the Persona side. If you could help us understand what drove transition from the customer's endpoint, and do you think this remains a risk for other segments or other parts of our portfolio, given we've had similar challenges with our top customers in prior years? That's question number one. The second question, when you speak about the need to step up investments, does it also mean that we might possibly have a rethink around our capital allocation policy? Yeah, would be great to get your thoughts there.
I'll answer the second one.
Yeah.
So I think there will be no change on our capital allocation policy. I think the investments we are making, we have enough cash to fund those, at least the ones that we're thinking about right now. On the first question, I will give
No, we don't see that as a trend. This was one-off event and was not in our top priority areas, and hence it was mutually agreed with the client to do this transaction.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Manik. Next question comes from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. VP, please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Sri, just a few questions on this Persona transition. First one, what were the total number of employees before this transition in Persona? And as you said, 400, 500 people have gone out. And then the second question is that, was it in your, given what just Kapil said, is it something which would be margin accretive to us or not?
I think it will be margin neutral. And to your first question, I think across the three locations, Persona will have roughly about 2,000 people, if not more, a little more than 2,000, I think.
Okay. So what you're saying is about 25% of the business has gone to this captive without any major impact on the, at least the margin of the overall business, right? That's sort of the takeaway.
Yeah. Now that you put it that way, it is more like 20%, I think, a little less than 20%.
Understood. Okay. And then the second question was that, was this a sudden thing or was it sort of planned over a 6-9 month period?
I think it was something that we discussed with the client. And like I said, it was a mutual thing that we agreed. And this transaction was consummated in Q3. And the overall impact of this we would see in Q4 from 1st Jan. And despite that, we would be in a position to show marginal growth on Q3.
Understood. And then just on fiscal 25, given the comments you have made about the potential investment in BD and sales, what kind of margin impact should one think about? Because you had earlier guided for 28%-32% range, and we have been sort of more closer to the lower end. So I'm just trying to get a sense as to what kind of margin one should expect. And obviously, there'll be revenue growth, so some of that will be offset by the growth, but still just wanted to get a sense on that.
So, Rajesh, we'll give more color into what we are thinking about while we present our full year results. And that's because at this moment, we are still thinking through some of these investments, and we also need to get formal board approval for making some of these investments. So I think if you could wait for a quarter, we will come back with more information.
Okay, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you, VP Rajesh. Next question comes from the line of Dipesh Mehta from MK Global. Dipesh, please go ahead. I have unmuted your line.
Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Two questions. First is about the, I think you earlier indicated about some recovery and sustainable growth in luxury segment. But if I look Europe swings softness, I think for last
Dipesh, couple of... Dipesh, we are not able to hear you. Can you speak a bit louder?
Is it better now? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Europe seems to be weak. Even though some of the segment which you said are now showing signs of recovery. So just want to get your sense about Europe. Even on YOY basis, it seems to be soft. So if you can provide what is leading to weakness in Europe performance. Second thing is about broader trend about rollout. How we are seeing, let's say, for last couple of quarters, we have a healthy growth. Even in Q4, despite client-specific situation, we expect growth to sustain. So in a way, we are indicating gross deal intake to be remain healthy, and roll-off seems to be not happening to that extent. So if you can provide some sense about both aspects in terms of how we are seeing deal, gross deal intake to play out, and second is about roll-off. If you can provide some sense what we are witnessing in the market. Thank you.
Yes. I think as far as gross sales is concerned, it continues to remain strong. I think Q2 was our best quarter of gross sales of the last 3 or 4 quarters. And as you noted, roll-offs, other than this one client event, also continues to remain fairly stable. Coming to the other question on the first question on Europe, I think Kapil had mentioned that recovery in digital we see on the high-tech client side and on B2B industrial. Specific to Europe, where we do a lot of work through CLX, many of our luxury clients have indicated a return to more moderate kind of growth levels as compared to the outperformance that they saw in FY22 and 23. So you are right in the observation that Europe has been soft, and we will expect some amount of moderation to happen in that geography.
Thank you,
Dipesh. Next is a follow-up question from the line of Sandeep Shah from Aquarius. Sandeep, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Srini, question in terms of margin. So, and when we discuss the margin, we look at operating margin excluding the other income. So, which was 27.5 in this quarter versus 28.4 in the last quarter. And if I adjust for the one-off 40-50 bips, it is still down by another 40-50 bips. So is it largely because of higher work from office? Because the robust growth to some extent is not leading to any slightly better margins on a Q-on-Q basis.
So that is one. The return to work is one of those elements. And the other element is that we have done some amount of advanced hiring in Q3, which is not fully translated into revenue yet.
Okay. The transition from our payroll to client's payroll will happen in the month of January, and that's where you are saying net addition is lower.
That's correct.
Okay. And question in terms of this insourcing, if I'm not wrong, it looks like insourcing happening from offshore location to the captive center in the offshore India. What is the logic? Is there a change in the economics, the way it works in terms of outsourced BPO versus a captive BPO? What is the logic for client to do such a big insourcing?
So there is no economic logic, at least to my mind, I don't know whether Kapil and PD can comment a little more, but to our mind, there is no change in the, in let's say captive looking more attractive than a service provider. I don't think that shift has happened. Some of it is driven by what a particular sponsor thinks about outsourcing and using service providers. Some of it is determined by what the overall firm wants to do in terms of geography. So I don't know, Peter, Kapil, you want to add anything to that?
I think it was more of a strategic decision because the captive that the work got transferred also is in the outsourcing business. So they took it saying that, look, why should they use an outsourcing company? So it was not a client, while it was a client, but they had their own outsourcing unit which they transitioned this work.
Okay. And just on the GenAI, is it fair to believe that whatever new ramp-ups can happen in a gradual fashion, it would be net accretive to the revenue, where in the first phase of adoption, our work will be slightly more accretive rather than deflative?
Sorry, I'm not... When you say GenAI, see, we are seeing, like in the last quarter, as I had mentioned, if you look at the top of the funnel continues to grow with the active discussions we are having with our clients. We have had several wins, and albeit small, because the size of these projects are small, the use cases are small, and we are in quite advanced discussions in closing a few others, right? And we are seeing traction in care ops, content ops, insights on demand. We are also trying to bring Gen AI on our technology applications, which we are using for BPaaS to enhance the functionality. So that's another area. We are in discussions with clients in terms of use cases that we are taking. So I think from an overall scheme of things, I don't see Gen AI impacting from a headcount perspective in terms of the growth that we will see.
Okay. So here the proof of concepts are coming on altogether a new process, or is it on the existing process client is adopting on Gen AI? If it's on the existing, how is the revenue cannibalization happening?
Because the volume of the transactions is increasing, so even if it's like some of it, let's say on care or content, on the content side, it's on existing, but the volume is increasing, and hence the net impact, we don't see that it will be decorative.
Okay. And Srini, last thing, if I see your realized rupee dollar, where you account hedges, this time it's almost similar to average of spot rates. So is it fair to assume our hedges are becoming slightly more favorable and we may have slightly better realized rate versus a lagging rate earlier?
That is correct.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, Sandeep. Reminder to participants to click on raise hand button to ask any questions. We have follow-up question from the line of Debashish Majumdar from Motilal Oswal. Rishis, please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, sir. Thank you very much for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers. So just one clarification, this loss of percent of business is a yearly run rate of around $7-8 million?
Roughly.
Okay, and are we confident of that after losing $7-8 million revenue in FY25, we'll be able to grow at a faster pace?
Yes.
Okay, and
yeah, that's correct. Because Q4, as we had mentioned, we will see a sequential growth, though small.
Oh, and from Q1 FY25 onwards, is it fair to assume that we will come back to like 3-3.5% kind of CQGR run rate, which we are maintaining today?
That would be a hard assumption to make. So usually our visibility is limited. So I think we'd prefer to give more commentary into what Q1 looks like, maybe after 3 months.
Where from I'm coming is basically that one side there is a loss of business. On the other side, your commentary suggests that there is a recovery of in the digital spending, which is 20-25% of our revenue or a little more than that. So I'm just trying to put a balance in between that and getting some sense in my head that what is the number in FY25-26 that we should pencil in.
Yeah, so I think where we are coming from is that we do see a recovery in our conversations with clients. We think at least there's some improvement in sentiment among the high-tech clients. Whether that actually translates into deal bookings and therefore increase in revenue, that remains to be seen. That's sort of the sentiment that we are seeing now.
Okay, and this insourcing kind of conversation, are you seeing that this increasing with your clients, or it's just like a one-off event?
This is a one-off.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Debashish. Next question comes from the line of Nitish Rege. Nitish, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. So I just wanted to know, could you please share your M&A progress? Like, what kind of assets are we assessing and in which areas? Is it in new segments or in adjacencies? Because, currently we're sitting on more than 1,000 of cash.
So I think we are looking at where we can drive synergies for our clients. So I think that's the first question. And does it fit our overall strategic direction, which is in terms of digital analytics in so I think the first question we are asking is, does it fit in our synergistic values, what we can add, and it overall is adding value to our clients and to us.
PD, you want to add? No, I think that's right, Kapil. And I would say broadly speaking, we've invested more in the M&A effort internally, and as a result, I think we are seeing more deal flow because we have interaction with a broader set of intermediaries in terms of bankers, etc. And I think to Kapil's point, a number of things have to align for a transaction to be consummated in terms of fit, valuation, growth prospects, management team, culture, and so on. But hopefully, I think we'll be more active going forward than what we've been in the past.
Okay, yeah, got it. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Nitish. Next question comes from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary. Nikhil, please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is regarding this transfer of employee from Personio. What I want to understand is, during the last call, we have given commentary that our quarter three is going to be a very strong quarter. And generally, the expectations are that you have visibility generally for the next 6 months. So how this surprise came in terms of transfer of employee or insourcing by client?
So the quarter was strong, isn't it? So it was 3.3%. And that is the commentary that we have given for Q3. I'm not sure why you feel that there was not enough information provided regarding what the quarter is going to be.
Understood, sir. Just wanted to understand, we expect maybe you had. So my understanding is maybe there was some surprise in terms of personnel transfer. So basically, you are saying that no, that visibility you already had, and this basically the transfer is more or less on expected lines.
So these are confidential transactions. So till the time that it actually consummates, we are not able to really talk about it. And which is why now we are disclosing this information. Because we could not have, we were not allowed to do it earlier.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikhil. Next question comes from the line of Mihir Manohar. Mihir, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. But on this Personio transfer, which is happening, lastly, wanted to understand what work were we doing here? What sort of work were we doing? Second question was on deal win side. I mean, this, despite the Personio transfer, which we are looking for, but that we are looking to grow sequentially. So just wanted to understand how are the deal wins which are panning out. Can you give some context for that? You mentioned about the
second. So, Sorry, Mir, we couldn't hear you. We could only hear what was the nature of the work. Can you please repeat what was the second part of your question?
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. So I mean, first thing I wanted to understand, what were we, I mean, what work were we doing on the personal side, specifically this thing which is happening, was first thing. Second thing on the deal wins, I mean, you know, despite this transfer which is happening, we are looking at growth in 4Q. So just wanted to understand, how are you looking at deal wins for this quarter and maybe for 3Q and 4Q both? That will be helpful. You talked about increasing spends on luxury and high tech. You can quantify, you know, what kind of increase are we looking at? Is it like 10% increase, 15% increase? That will be helpful.
I think the nature of work that we were doing was more on outbound sales, and in terms of our deal pipeline is healthy. Conversion rates stay the same, so there isn't a material change in terms of our win rate or conversion rates. In terms of exactly what we are like 10%, 8%, I think it's difficult to quantify. Like I said earlier, that despite the full impact in Q4, we will show a moderate growth in Q4 over Q3. And the for the Q1 and the rest of FY25, we will be able to give more color when we meet you guys in our next quarter.
That's a fair point. So I mean, despite the personnel, we are looking ex of the personnel, the growth rate is expected to be good. Do you see this sustaining, or how do you see that, given the fact that there are some green shoots which are happening?
You see it is sustaining. You see the growth is sustaining.
Yeah, I like overall, we do see the growth, the pipeline environment, and we would be investing in sales to further bring the sustainability.
Sure. And just lastly, I mean, any more color around team building exercise, any more senior people being hired or anything like that after you have joined it?
So there have been no further senior hires. We are in the process, and that's part of the investment plan. So as and when they happen, we will call it out.
That's it from my side.
Thank you, Mir. Next question comes from the line of Darshan Engineer. Darshan, please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah. Darshan, go
Yeah.
ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, congratulations for a decent set of numbers considering the external environment. So my first question was on the geographic on the top client front. So if you see, look at the data, it seems that your top five clients actually have grown at a healthy rate. Does it mean that, I mean, despite all the challenges we see in the external environment, the clients that you are working with continue to have a good growth going ahead? And I mean, considering, I mean, the growth rates on the top five and the top 10 clients are quite healthy and above company average.
So I think yes, we will continue in terms of the like as I had mentioned, because on the back of strong delivery, our technology-enabled delivery, we are seeing good conversations with existing clients. And to bring sustainability, we have to also build new growth engines, which is where I think we will be investing in sales and marketing from to bring more sustainable and scalable growth.
And just to add to that, you know, Darshan, some of it is just the way it plays out is, as we have been talking, a lot of the growth has been in CO and FM in the last couple of quarters. And by definition, you know that we have smaller number of clients with larger footprints there. So it sort of stands to reason that the larger of our clients would have grown faster.
Right. And this client which has went to I mean, which has been insourced by the client, I mean, so is that the one which is why your USD $5 to $10 million clients is seeing a reduction from 5 to 3 quarter on quarter? And so one of them might have
No.
moved larger and one of them might have gone out. So if you can just explain, I mean, while the number of clients remain the same quarter on quarter, but there has been shifts between the different buckets.
So there is always generally a shift between buckets as one client moves in, somebody moves out. To the specific question on your what you're asking about this client in Personic, they're not part of the top 10.
Oh, okay. Then the third part was on the emerging revenue that you would disclose. Again, there we are seeing a good quarter-on-quarter growth in the $0.5 million bucket. And we are seeing a corresponding degrowth in the others kind of thing. So if you can just explain what is happening in this emerging business.
Again, I think it's driven by where we're seeing growth in our businesses. So in customer operations and financial markets where we have these emerging clients, those have grown. And I suspect that more of these clients would be in the 0.5% bucket and less in the others. Hence, you see the 0.5 plus going faster than the other.
Right. And finally, coming to the headcount, I mean, you explained that, I mean, this headcount addition is not really the correct way to look at it. So if you can just again explain what exactly we meant by the quarter-on-quarter growth of headcount.
Yeah, so what I meant is that the personnel transfer is effective only in this quarter. And therefore, the exit headcount that you see in the slide 17,000 is not reflective of what we will enter the quarter with.
Okay. So maybe we expect a flat quarter-on-quarter in Q4, considering the normal growth that you would expect, say, from the in terms of a future pipeline. There may be still be addition, but on a reported basis, it will look like a flat employee addition in Q4.
That's possible. I've not looked into it, but that's possible.
Understood. And finally, on the attrition, I mean, this 16.6% seems to be too low. And actually, I think we would love to see it actually higher, considering that, I mean, in our case, a higher attrition is actually beneficial to the margin. So would you actually look at this going up again, or this... Because despite the low attrition, your margins actually are on a good rate, actually. So,
yeah. So we think that in Q4 this should pick up. This seems to be the this is the lowest that we've seen in a long time, and we think that Q4 it will be higher.
Okay. And just one clarification, final clarification. You said that Q4 you expect a growth, a modest growth, but that would be after. That would be despite the revenue that is going in. So, in a way, I mean, after excluding that business that has gone away, the growth rate would be still be a reasonable Q on Q growth in Q4.
Yeah, it will be small.
Yeah, understood. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Darshan. Next question comes from the line of Ayush Bansal. Ayush, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. So our utilization for the quarter is around 74%. What would be the optimal range going forward?
I think we are targeting a number between 74 to 76.
Got it. Another is on the top 6 to 10 clients. If we see that we are seeing a decline from the last three quarters, a sequential decline. So, any color on that side?
I suspect it's just a function of what the situation for those specific clients is. I think our focus remains on trying to grow some of this, but I think maybe it's just a function of time and the recovery in their respective businesses.
So, we do expect a recovery going forward there?
Hopefully.
Got it.
So we have a large franchise of client Ayush, and hence I think it's like whether recovery happens in client 6 to 10 or from 11 to 20. I think we have a good franchise of clients, strong delivery, and a strong technology capability.
Okay. And last thing on the depreciation part, it has increased slightly quarter on quarter. So any specific reason for that?
So a small facility in Chandigarh has gone live, so about 200-300 seats. So that is one reason. And because of the lease termination in Gurgaon, there is accelerated depreciation for the next few months.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayush. Next question comes from the line of Sandeep Shah. Sandeep, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity again. Kapil, just reference to my earlier question, you said to accelerate the growth, you have to invest and the benefits of that may start reaping from the second half of next financial year. So in that scenario, you believe the acceleration can happen because investment may eat into margins, or this could be some change in the expense churning which can keep the margin more or less stable rather than compromising margin in search of a higher growth?
So I think even like in terms of we, like I said, we will be investing for growth in sales and marketing. There will be a lag from the time investment is made to the time we will see growth. And thereafter, we will look at in terms of where all optimization is possible. We are delivering healthy margins. We have a good client franchise. We are continuing to invest in areas where we have strength and good capability. And we will come back to you in Q1 when we declare our Q4 and full year results in terms of giving you the impact in terms of the margins and what we directionally we could look at over 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
I think
okay.
We will take a more longer term view than a quarter on quarter.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. And just last, in that budgeting cycle and your aspiration for the growth, whether Gen AI makes you worried in back of your mind, or you believe, no, that won't be a worry and we would anyway achieve our growth targets if we execute well?
See, as I had said earlier, and our BPaaS work that we do and our ability to deploy technology on the ops work that we are doing, roughly 12 to 15% of our revenue comes from the tech side and 90% of it overlaps with the work that we do in the ops area. So I see Gen AI as an opportunity for us to build proof points because we have domain, process and tech knowledge, which is, I think, a unique skill set. So I don't see that as a threat. If at all, I see this as an opportunity.
Okay, thanks. All the best.
Thank you, Sandeep. Next question comes from the line of Shraddha. Shraddha, please go ahead.
Yeah, most of my questions have been answered. Just one follow-up. I think you mentioned that the comfortable range of utilization for you should be between 74-76%. And we've historically operated at utilization levels upwards of 78% also. So why is the new normal band for utilization lower than what historically we've operated at?
I think from FY23 Q1, we changed the calculation.
I think that's the new calculated range only.
The new calculated rate, at least what I can see, is between 73.1-75.4.
So I think, okay, I'll get, maybe I'll recheck it.
Maybe, but... let's, yeah, we can okay. Pick it up offline.
Sure. Thanks, Shreya. Yeah. That's
Thank
it, Asha. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, Shraddha. Next question comes from the line of Jalaj Manocha. Jalaj, please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. This is a more from a structural perspective or a change which has happened. So I see that at least for this financial year, the subcon cost has reduced to the range of 2-2.5%, which was historically been in the range of 3.5-4%. So how should I read the impact of this on the margins and what would have been the replacement headcount which would have come from here?
So I don't have a ready answer. I think our subcon cost was higher, not historically, but probably only in FY22 and FY23. And it has come down since to this level, which is probably more reflective of our long-term number. I don't know if PD, you have
No, I don't have anything to add to you.
I will get back to you, Jalaj.
Okay. And could you, so I guess the outlook part has already been covered, but in the short run, where do you see the pickup in the top line at least coming from in terms of the three segments, if you could talk about, because we don't get the segmentation across them.
Sorry, what's the, can you please repeat the question?
Could you talk a little about the in short term, what sort of outlook are you getting from the three segments across the business lines? Because we usually don't have the, and the current top line, if there is some change in the movement, because we don't have the historical movement in those, because we don't report them that way now.
Okay, so I think in financial markets, like I said, we are seeing demand from in the area of compliance, in the area of loans, and we are seeing both ops and tech opportunities on the buy side firm. On the digital practice side, we are seeing some outlook, some green shoots on the high-tech clients, fashion and luxury, as we mentioned, that there is a moderate but sustainable growth. I think it is coming back to the new normal. And industrial manufacturing, we are seeing a good outlook in terms of their continued investments on the digital transformation journey, where we are also bringing in our GenAI capability. Retail and brands are still, I think, a little bit struggling in terms of low to single digit industry growth. And in customer operations practice, I think we are seeing, again, demand on account of seasonality as well as net new addition in existing clients.
Understood. Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you, Jalaj. Next question comes from the line of Debashish Mazumdar. Debashish, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Kapil. Thank you so much again. So the question that I have is more to do with the long-term trajectory of this company, because what we have seen eClerx in the past is targeting those business where margins are very, very high. And we are still reporting highest margin by any parameter in the industry. But once you onboarded and you will start chasing scale, seems to be that there could be some pressure on margins, although maybe transitory. But so broadly, what is your view? How can you, how do you think of balancing it in terms of growth and margin? Because if I say the B2B, BFSI business today, we are largely into the B2B space. The moment you go to B2C space, there is a large amount of competition there where margins are low. So just wanted to get your thought around growth and margin, how you are looking at it.
So like I said, I think we would be investing for growth in terms of which will have an impact on the margin in short term. And then in terms of segment, we believe that the current capabilities that we have and in the adjacent areas, there are enough and more opportunities. So we really wouldn't have to go and look for B2C and other areas. And we will be able to give you more color once we have finalized the plan. It's been approved by board in our Q1 in terms of more than quarter on quarter, as you tell your investors to have a 5 to 7 year outlook when they invest in equity. We would recommend that you take a view of 3 to 5 years. And overall, if there will be a dilution in margin, we will also look at how it is a EPS accretive.
Is there any threshold margin limit that is there in your mind that will not go below this number?
I don't have that at this point in time.
Great, Kapil. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debashish. Next question comes from the line of Darshan Engineer. Darshan, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. So just wanted your view on the GenAI proof of concept projects that you had mentioned in the previous quarters. I mean, there were some 50+ POCs already underway at that time. I'm asking this because, I mean, when you look at some other BPO slash KPO companies like yours and who are even larger in size, they are also suggesting that they're getting a lot of new projects and from first time outsourcers of business processes through the GenAI route itself. So if you can throw some more light on this GenAI being a net accretive to the BPO industry in general and how it will benefit even companies like us in terms of this POCs then translating into maybe much larger commercial level projects.
So, like I said, Darshan, right, that we are the funnel is increasing. The discussions that we had in advanced stages last quarter, some of them have got converted, some of them have moved into advanced stages of conversion, and the top of the funnel has increased as well. Like we are focusing on our existing set of clients to deliver additional value as opposed to looking at new clients, because as I mentioned earlier, we have a strong franchise of clients, and any which way our delivery is tech-led, and we have offerings on the BPaaS where we have underlying technology on our own platform where we are enhancing the functionality by bringing in the GenAI. So overall, I see it to be net accretive in the from our company perspective.
So what I meant was that are you also getting maybe new clients altogether, clients which are not doing an outsourcing of their business processes for the first time itself?
Yes, so I think we are, but like I said, the focus, it's a question of focus, right? In terms of, yeah, I can chase new clients, but if we have a good franchise of clients, I'd rather focus with the existing set of clients where I have domain process already underlying technology to bring in the GenAI, right? Can we go ahead and chase new clients? Are we getting requests from new clients? The answer is yes, but we are prioritizing our existing set of clients and servicing them.
Understood. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Darshan. Reminders to participants, if any questions, please click on raise hand button. Otherwise, we'll close the call. As there are no further questions, I will hand over the floor to management for closing comment.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for joining the call. We'll see you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.